We're so glad that you're listening to the Embrace Church podcast. If you live here in South Dakota and you haven't done so before, we'd love to have you join us in person at one of our locations. I hope today's message brings you closer to Jesus. Let's jump in.
Hey, Embrace. Hope you guys are doing well today. So glad to be with you. If we've not met, my name is Travis. I get to be one of our pastors here, and I am very thrilled to get to share our message today. So a little bit about what's been going on with me. So the last couple of months, I've been a part of this class at the church, and as a part of the class, we've been learning how to leave a good legacy with our life, which is kind of an intense topic, but it's been awesome. So I'm just taking this class, okay? I'm just attending it. I'm not leading it or anything like that. But for one of the sessions, the instructor of the class asked me if I'd be willing to share just a brief overview of a story in the Bible. And I felt really honored when he asked me to do this. But if I'm being really honest, also a part of me felt just a little bit cocky. I was like, oh, like share a story from the Bible. I'm a pastor. I'm probably qualified to do that. So I said, yes. And he said, great. The story that I want you to share about, the story I want you to give an overview about is the story of David and I was like, oh, probably like David and Goliath. Like that's really easy. Like everybody knows that story. I could talk about David and Goliath or maybe David and Bathsheba. We heard about David and Bathsheba a couple weeks ago. I could talk about that. I won't even have to do any research. Maybe even like a deeper cut, like David and Absalom. I could talk about anything. I was like, bring it on, whatever you got, David and whoever, I got this. He's like, great, great, great. The story that I want you to share about is about David and Mephibosheth. And I was like, yeah, totally. Yeah, no, the old classic story of David and Mephibosheth. I'd never heard of this story in my whole life, okay? Like, I was just like, hey, like, I just need a little bit of time to look into it, if that's all right with you. So I did. I studied it, and I studied it for a little bit over an hour, and I was running through it. It was a really great story. But still, by the end of it, like, I could not pronounce this guy's name to save my life. And so I tell you this for a couple different reasons. One, I find when I make fun of myself, it gets people to like me faster, so hopefully that is working. The second reason is we've been studying the last couple of weeks this book in the Bible called 2 Samuel. And I just want to encourage you, if at any point throughout this series you felt maybe overwhelmed, maybe you felt confused, maybe you felt like, gosh, I don't know if I have this whole thing figured out, I just want to encourage you, join the club, okay? Like, the Bible is a big book, and for sure it's filled with all kinds of wonderful things that we should know, but we don't have to know it all right now, all right? We are on this journey, and we are on this journey together. So that is what we are going to continue today, and actually we are going to get to look at together that same story that I was asked to share about in my class. I'm happy to report I can now successfully pronounce Mephibosheth, at least most of the time. We'll find out for the rest of our time together here, but that's what we're going to look at. So if you have this little green 2 Samuel book that you may have gotten a couple weeks ago, you can grab that, or if you have your Bible, that would be great. What we're going to do is we're going to jump into this story in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, but we're going to be kind of all throughout the book of 2 Samuel because this story kind of spans multiple chapters. So we'll get started right here in chapter 9, starting in verse 3. It says this, the king asked, and this is King David, who we've been looking at for the last few weeks, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? So David asks this question, is there anyone alive in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Now, just getting started, this sentence seems relatively straightforward and simple, but in a lot of ways, this question is bonkers. The fact that he would even ask a question like this, in a lot of ways, is a miracle. Here's why. So David's now the king. He took over the kingdom from King Saul, but there wasn't like this loving, smooth succession plan where Saul was like, here you go, David, like you can have the kingdom. No, for years and years and years, Saul tried to murder David so that he couldn't become king, but that didn't happen, of course. Instead, Saul himself died. David took over as king. And so this question, it makes no sense, because normally during that time when a new king takes over, he would wipe out the entire household of the previous king so that no one would be a threat to him. So a normal question for David to ask here is, hey, is there anyone left in Saul's house that I can kill? But again, he doesn't ask that. Instead, he asks if there's anyone left in Saul's house that he can be kind to. Continuing on, here's what it says. Ziba answered the king. Now, Ziba was a servant for Saul, so he knows kind of all about Saul's household. So Ziba, he answers the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Jonathan is the son of Saul. And so we learn that there is someone still left in Saul's family line. It is Saul's grandson. And later we find out that that man's name is Mephibosheth, right? And that is where our story picks up of David and Mephibosheth. A little bit about Mephibosheth, like we mentioned in the verse, he is Saul's grandson. He's the son of Jonathan. That matters because David and Jonathan used to be best friends. Maybe you know this. And they actually made a promise to each other to always protect each other's family. And the last thing to know about Mephibosheth that's really important, it says that he was lame in both feet, so he can't walk. He was actually dropped as a kid, and he was injured, and so now he can't walk. For the rest of his days, he is unable to walk. Now, think about this for just a moment. Let's put ourselves in the position of Mephibosheth. Okay, we can't walk. Our dad is dead. Our grandfather is dead. Pretty much everyone in our household has died. And now this new powerful king, who our grandfather tried to kill in a lot of ways, is now looking for us. He finds us and he wants to meet with us. If we are Mephibosheth in this moment, we have to be thinking, if this meeting were to go well in any way, it would take a miracle. So continuing on in verse 6, it says this, when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. This interaction is so wild. Mephibosheth, he's bowing down before David. He's like, what are you going to do to me? Like, are you going to kill me? This is not good. And what does David do? Well, he gives him a bunch of land and he invites him over for dinner. Okay, like, this is not normal. This is very unexpected. And Mephibosheth, he is stunned. It goes on to say a little bit later, Mephibosheth asks the question, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? He's like, I cannot believe this is happening right now. Who am I? I am not worthy of this. How is this happening? This is a miracle. Now, if you were anything like me, you love a story like this. We love a story like this because this is the type of thing that doesn't happen, right? This is unnatural. This is countercultural. This undeserved, unnecessary kindness is stunning. It's not normal. It's beautiful. So why does David do it? Well, back to David's original question, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness. God's kindness. David does all of this because he watched God do it. These actions, they are done by David, but they are not from him. In this moment, David is remembering all the times that God protected him, all the times that God provided for him. David's remembering all the times that God elevated him and blessed him when he deserved nothing. And in this moment, he is only doing for Mephibosheth what he saw God do for him. And that brings us to our first of three takeaways that we have from this story today. If you want to see a miracle, imitate God. If you want to see a miracle, imitate God. If you want to see a miracle, do what God would do. See, there is something in all of us that just longs to see the kindness of God in our world. There's something in all of us that longs to see good take place in our world in big ways and small ways. There's something in us that longs for our coworker to just bring us a coffee randomly because they see that we're having a hard day. Not about the coffee, just because we are noticed by someone. There's something in all of us that want to see our kids just play nicely with each other. Parents, can I get an amen on that one? There's something in us that loves when somebody loses their job and then like a random person reaches out to them out of the blue and they're like, hey, I think I might have a job for you. when a couple loses their baby and they get flowers just at random on their doorstep because somebody sees them and notices them and they want them to know that they are not alone. Just like David going out of his way to be kind to Mephibosheth, to show God's kindness to Mephibosheth, these little moments, they are miracles because they're unnatural. We don't see stuff like that take place often in our world, and they stand out as special because these actions aren't from this world. These actions are what God does. They might seem small, but when God is a part of it, and it might just be a miracle. So again, our takeaway, if you want to see a miracle, imitate God. Like, let's get out there and let's maybe be a part of some miracles. All right, so we're going to fast forward now in our story. We were in chapter 9. We're going to fast forward all the way to chapter 16. So when David and Mephibosheth first got together, David's on top of the world. He's a new king. Everything is going great. But if you were around the last couple of weeks, we know that that did not last. David made some mistakes. His kids made some mistakes. And now as a result of all of those mistakes, David is on the run for his life in this moment. Okay, he's still the king, but he is fleeing in his own kingdom because so many people have betrayed him. They want to murder him. They want his throne. And here is where we pick up in our story. Chapter 16, starting verse 1. When David had gone a short distance beyond the summit, there was Ziba, the steward of Mephibosheth, waiting to meet him. Again, Ziba is our connector between David and Mephibosheth. He's the one who introduced them. Fun fact about Ziba, whenever I read Ziba, I think of my dog Ziva, who was named after a character in the TV show NCIS. Isn't she sweet? Ziba is not featured in 2 Samuel, although I think she would be a great addition to the story. David is on the run. He and Ziba connect. And here is what happens next. The king, David, then asks, "Where is your master's grandson?" So David runs into Ziba. Mephibosheth's not there. David's like, "Hey, Ziba, that guy that I helped, like that guy that I went out of my way to show God's kindness to, that guy that I blessed when you know nobody else was expecting it, where is that guy? Because like I'm kind of on the run for my life right now. It seems like everybody's betrayed me. It seems like everybody wants me dead. I'd like to be around somebody that I think is probably going to be nice to me. Where is your master's grandson?" And here is what Ziba says in response. "He's staying in Jerusalem because he thinks today the Israelites will restore to me my grandfather's kingdom." Then the king said to Ziba, "All that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours." Now, this is maybe a little bit confusing language. Here's what we need to know. David is wanting a connection with Mephibosheth because he knows that he showed him kindness and he's thinking that Mephibosheth might be in his corner. What he finds out is yet another person has betrayed him. What Ziba is saying is like, "Hey, Mephibosheth, he's back in Jerusalem. He's waiting for you to fail so he can take over as king." Yet another betrayal. If the beginning of the story between David and Mephibosheth was a miracle, it is now a tragedy. And guys, this is where the story starts to suck, okay? Like, I do not like this. This is wrong. This is not right. And it brings us to our second of 3 points for today from this story. Life is not a Hallmark movie, okay? Life is not a Hallmark movie. Now, if you've never seen a Hallmark movie before, I am jealous of you. I've seen far too many. My wife loves them and we watch them constantly. If you've not seen a Hallmark movie, I'll just give you a brief overview of pretty much every Hallmark movie because they are all very similar. There is a main character, and that main character, they have an objective. Okay, they want to get a new big job, they want to fall in love, they want to pull off a Christmas pageant or something like this. And so here's what happens. On their way to accomplishing whatever objective it is, something bad happens. Okay, a trial takes place, somebody else gets the job, their love interest says something mean to them, the truckload of wreaths don't show up on time, whatever it is, something bad happens. One, maybe two bad things happen, but then, magically, in like a scene or two, everything gets fixed, like that. Like the person, the main character, gets the job that they wanted somehow. The love interest apologizes and they end up kissing. The Christmas pageant goes off without a hitch. The wreaths show up. Everything is perfect. Everybody's clapping. Credits roll. Everyone lives happily ever after. That's pretty much every Hallmark movie. Now, it's cheesy, but if you are anything like me, you like the way that the Hallmark movie plays out because a Hallmark movie is fair. Okay, like if you're like me, like you have an objective for your life. We are the main character in our own life, and we have things that we want to accomplish. But we're realists, right? We don't expect life to be perfect. No, we're good with one or maybe two things going wrong, but once they go wrong, we want it fixed immediately. And then we want our happily ever after. The only problem with that is that this story from David and Mephibosheth, and for so many of us, life has taught us that that's not how life works. Life is not a Hallmark movie. It doesn't just get fixed immediately. Our struggles, our trials aren't just over like that. And the gut punch of this story between David and Mephibosheth is that you can do everything right in a situation and things still don't turn out the way that you want them to. Again, David, he's imitating God. He's following God's ways. He wants to show God's kindness. And we still learn that sometimes, even when we do that, for those of us who follow Jesus, even when we follow Jesus, sometimes things don't work out the way that we want them to. Because broken people hurt people. People betray us, even when we've been kind to them. And the problem is, we do the same thing to other people. Sometimes in life, things just get broken, and there isn't a quick, perfect fix for it. So again, life is not a Hallmark movie, but there is some good news. And that good news is that God actually intended life to be better than a Hallmark movie. And many of us are like, I sure hope so, because Hallmark movies are terrible. We're going to finish up our story. We're going to jump to chapter 19, verse 24. It says this: Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day he returned safely. When he came from Jerusalem to meet the king asked him, "Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" So David and Mephibosheth, they meet again. Again, we're forwarding in the story. David is still the king. He wasn't killed. And now we find Mephibosheth, and what we find is a broken man. And again, he can't walk. And we find that since the moment David left him, from the time that they initially met, no one has been caring for Mephibosheth. His hair is a mess, his clothes are a mess, his feet are a mess. He's been unkept, uncared for, and dirty. And David asks, "Why didn't you go with me? Like, why didn't you go with me? Why didn't you take me up on my offer? I talked to Ziba before. He said that you were going to betray me. Is this true? Why didn't you go with me?" Verse 26, here's what Mephibosheth says in return: "My lord the king, since I, your servant, am lame, I said, I will have my donkey saddled and I will ride on it so I can go with the king." He says, I was planning on going with you, but Ziba, my servant, betrayed me, and he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. My lord the king is like an angel of God, so do whatever you wish. All my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death from my lord the king, but you gave your servant a place among those who eat at your table, so what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king?" In this moment, Mephibosheth is saying to David, "You were lied to. Okay, you thought all of your kindness was returned with betrayal. That is not true. And in fact, you are like an angel of God, David." Again, Mephibosheth, before David, is just saying, "Hey, like, I've appreciated so much. I know that I deserve nothing but death. I know my whole family deserved nothing but death. I appreciate you so much, David. Thank you so much for letting me live. I would never betray you." And now you might be thinking, okay, Like, that's good, I guess. But like, what's the big deal? Like, okay, so he wasn't betrayed. What's the big deal? We have to think about it from David's perspective, right? He was doing everything he could. He was doing everything he could to follow God's ways, to imitate him, to go out of his way, to be kind to someone else. And yet all he was experiencing was betrayal after betrayal. He tried to do everything right, and yet everything was a mess. And my question for us is, have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there where you're just trying, you're trying to follow God's ways, you're trying to do the right thing, and yet it just hit after hit after hit? What God does for you and I in this story is the same thing he does for David in this story. God says to us, I see you. God says to David, I didn't forget your faithfulness. I know that you could have killed Mephibosheth, but you stayed faithful to me. And guess what? I was taking care of you the entire time. You weren't betrayed. In fact, you were respected. You were elevated. He thought of you as an angel of God. And for you and I, in this moment, God sees, I see your work. I see you trying. I want good for you. I have good planned for your life. Reconciliation takes place between David and Mephibosheth. And it might seem small, but it brings us to our third and our final point for today. Imitating God, it doesn't fix everything, but it does stand out. It doesn't fix everything, but it does stand out. There is still so much darkness in this story between David and Mephibosheth. There's so much wrong in it. But when this redemption happens, when Mephibosheth makes things right, when he tells David the full story, it's still a dark story, but there is so much light in it now. It's like a breath of fresh air into a dark story. It's just like, oh, there's still good. Like he wasn't fully betrayed. It's still good. And for you and I, life is going to continue not being a Hallmark movie. For you and I, life isn't always going to be perfect. There is going to be times of darkness. But when we do things, when we imitate God, when we try to follow his ways, even though it's dark, those actions still stand out. Your encouragement to your coworker, it stands out. You forgiving your spouse, even when they don't deserve it, it stands out. You pausing to notice another person, to look them in the eye, to encourage them in some way, it stands out. You avoiding and shutting down gossip, it stands out. Those moments of imitating God, doing what he does, it seems small, but I promise, it all stands out. And I know if you're like me, you're thinking, But does it like, this world is so dark. Like sometimes I feel like it's just all consuming. What small actions can I make? What difference can they make in this world? Does anybody even notice or care? But let me ask you this, like on a dark, clear night, when there's just blackness all around, so much dark, when you look up at the sky, what do you see? You see the stars. And in our world that's surrounded, it seems so all-consuming that there's nothing good. It's so dark. And yet these moments when one person steps outside of their comfort zone and does something that's unnatural and unnecessary and countercultural, it shines so brightly. You've seen it before. I know you've seen it before. It stands out like a star in a dark night sky. That's what we get to do. Imitating God. It doesn't fix everything, but it stands out as beautiful and it brings hope into a dark world. It shines so brightly. Maybe you've heard this. Light shines brightest in the darkness. That is what you and I get to do. People notice it. And just like stars light up the night sky, you and I, you and I, we can help to light up our dark world, not because of us, but only because we're trying to follow what God does. Because when God gets involved, man, miracles can happen. Let's look at our takeaways one more time for today. If you want to see a miracle, imitate God. Remember, life is not a Hallmark movie. But imitating God doesn't fix everything, but it does stand out. It does. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this story of David and Mephibosheth. God, I thank you for the example of David's faithfulness, and I thank you for the blessing that you showed to him that reminds us that if we take steps towards you, if we walk closely with you, if we follow you in your ways, you will show up. Things still might not be perfect, but they will be a little bit brighter, Lord. So would you give us a vision for what that could look like for us? Would you give us a step to take, and would you give us the courage to take it? Lord, you are so good. You are so kind. God, would you teach us how to bring your kindness into our world? And would it stand out like stars in the night sky? Would we be able to be a part of something so much bigger than ourselves? Would we be a part of the work that you have in this world? God, would you use us powerfully? Thank you for using your people. Thank you for letting us be a part of your redeeming work in this world. We love you so much. We pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We'd love to have you join us in person at one of our locations. You can find out more at iamembrace.com.